As promised, we're joined right now by an NFL Network analyst. 12-year career in the National Football League, also as a player and a scout. You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. He is the host of the Move the Sticks podcast, along with Daniel Jeremiah. We are joined by Bucky Brooks. Bucky, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you. So you've been watching and tweeting about flag football in the American Flag Football League. Let me start right there. What do you make of what you've seen from an excitement standpoint?
I mean, I think it's a good game. I think much like the Big Three has been a resource for some players to go to after their playing days are done, I think flag football could be a nice alternative for guys when the playing days are done. You're still in a competitive environment. There's still some level of strategy and athleticism and excitement to seeing pro players run around. I think it could be a nice option for players when the NFL days and maybe even their CFL days are done.
You know, I think there's something to that. And then also just this whole overall notion of safety. I've talked to a number of guys and former players over the years who've said that there is no need to play tackle football as early as some kids start. Where do you come out on that? Is flag football a better idea for kids than tackle football?
You know, Jim, it's tough for me because I was a guy that played tackle football from the time I was 7 years old. So from 7 to 28, all I knew was tackle football. However, I had my own kid, my son, he played flag football coming up. And I talked to a bunch of pros and said, like, honestly, when you really think about it, unless your son or your kid is destined to be an offensive or defensive lineman, you can get a lot of the same benefits from playing flag. Being on the perimeter, moving around, the movement skills, catching the ball, throwing the ball, running the ball, all those skills you can learn in flag football. At some point, if you think your kid is going to play high school football, you can transition them to tackle or contact football maybe around eighth grade, just so they can kind of get used to tackling and bumping in the bodies. But in terms of the other stuff, I don't know why you would necessarily need to put your kid in tackle football before they get to eighth grade. Flag football can serve a lot of needs without all the risks that are associated with playing contact football.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Bucky Brooks joining us. Now, there were some legendary NFL players who got involved with this, guys like Willie McGinnis, Chris Claiborne, your old teammate Napoleon Kaufman. Who else was there, and what's it like when you guys get together?
You know, it's crazy. When we're at the opening and we have an opportunity to deal with all these top high school kids, it is really a remarkable experience because we not only get a chance to share our knowledge and wisdom, we get some of the pros to come back. Todd Gurley, Rob Gronkowski, DeMarcus Ware. Some of those guys also share information with the high school guys. But really, it's a chance to see the next generation in action. These guys that we see at these events, they're going to be the guys that we talk about in 3 or 4 years. So to be around them, to get around them kind of at the base level, to be maybe mentors to those guys, is really an invaluable experience. It's one that I'm really happy to be a part of. It's a great thing that Nike does. It's a great thing that Student Sports, who kind of runs it behind the scenes, also do. It's a terrific opportunity for us to get involved and get back.
Bucky Brooks joining us, an analyst for NFL Network. So, Bucky, what about the kids? I mean, how would you compare the caliber of high school players now as compared to when you played in high school?
Bigger, faster, stronger. Mm-hmm. They have all the advantages because now they're training all the time. They have the opportunity to get with coaches and work individually on their games. I can't tell you how advanced my game and some of the older guys' games would have been if we had the opportunity to go to these camps to be coached, to have access to some of the resources that they have available now. If you want to be a really good player in this day and time, there is nothing that is keeping you from being that player if you're willing to put in the time and the work.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, shifting to the NFL now. The buzz is starting to build again for the Texans and Deshaun Watson. Listen, what are you looking to see from Watson early on to let you know whether or not he's back to being the guy he was prior to getting injured?
You know, the main thing, I think everyone is worried about the injury. I just want to see how he advances and progresses and deals with some of the changes that he'll face from defensive coordinators that are a little more familiar with his game. The Houston Texans kind of took the league by a storm when they put him in the lineup because they ran an offense that was radically different from the offense that they had been running prior to. They ran basically an offense that looked like a college offense, a lot of read option stuff, a lot of RPOs, a lot of deception and misdirection. Well, now that that is on tape, how does Deshaun Watson deal with some of the adjustments that defensive coordinators make for him and for that offense? How he handles the changes will let us know how good he could be as an NFL quarterback, because if he quickly makes the adjustments to the adjustments that have been made against him, he has an opportunity to be an elite-level quarterback. I think he's going to make those adjustments. we'll just see how long it takes them to kind of figure it out.
NFL Network analyst Bucky Brooks joining us once again. Bucky, in the wake of the latest involving Jameis Winston, you made the point recently that either we're going to see him step up and mature and see the best of him, or he's going to wash out completely. If you had to guess, which scenario is more likely?
I think he'll step up. I think he's a competitor. I think if you look at his history at Florida State and even in Tampa Bay, he has always performed better when he's had stuff hanging over his head. The stuff that he had to deal with at Florida State, his final season, he still continued to play at a high level. I think he will be able to handle the pressure that goes with it. But make no mistake, it's a make-or-break year for Jameis Winston down in Tampa. He is on the hot seat, but he's on the hot seat because his head coach and the general manager are also on the hot seat. I think for all three of them to return, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to make the playoffs. And it's going to be hard because they potentially could be in a three-game hole. But Jameis Winston is going to have to dig his franchise out of this hole to continue to be the franchise quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, so purely from an on-field standpoint, when you see some of the choices or decisions that he makes with the ball, what do you make of the progress that he's made over the course of his career?
You know, the funny thing, Jim, the off-the-field stuff is kind of clouding the progress that he's made on the field. On the field, he's coming off career highs in completion percentage, interception rating is low, passing yards are up. All of those things are really, really good when you looked at the stuff on tape. He still makes some bonehead decisions. He's still going to turn over the ball, but that's who he is. And for some quarterbacks, they're going to do it. He has to become a guy that displays better composure and better poise on the field. He's a natural leader. He's competitive. He has the NFL arm and all that. It's about his poise, his ability to kind of quiet his mind and play at a high level. If he does that, he could be a guy that is ultimately a top five, top 10 quarterback. He has to kind of find a way to have that poise and play with it 60 minutes a game.
Bucky Brooks, my guest for a few more moments. Bucky, things got a little interesting on Twitter today when Chargers DB Casey Hayward responded to a tweet from the NFL Network saying, quote, "Don't listen to Bucky. He just be talking," end quote. What did you think when you saw that?
At first, I didn't know what it was coming from, but then I went down and I led the thread. Last year, I wrote a piece about system players and star players. And in star players, we talk about transcendent stars, guys that you can put in any system and they'll be able to succeed. So you think about a guy like a Von Miller who can play in any system. You think about a player like a Patrick Peterson, a cornerback who can play in any system because he can play press, he can play off. I included Casey Hayward on that list as a system player because he's a guy that plays in a scheme that allows him to play off. He bails, he looks at the quarterback. He clues, he reads plays, he jumps, he gets his hands on a ton of balls because he has great read and reaction skills. He took offense to that, I guess, by saying that I downgraded his game. But the funny thing is, I talked to a bunch of coaches that have coached Casey, not only in L.A. and San Diego, but also in Green Bay. And they said, in the system that he's currently in, he's built for it. It's a perfect system for him to play. So he's mad at me, but I'm just a messenger delivering the message that coaches told me about his game.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, then. You know, I had Jarvis Landry on the show recently. He was talking about Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. And I've said for a while, I just don't think that Taylor gets nearly the respect that he deserves. So when you heard that there was a gap between Taylor and Mayfield in the quarterback competition, did that surprise you at all?
Not surprised at all. I feel like Tyrod Taylor has been really overlooked for whatever reason the last 3 or 4 years. When you look at his touchdown to interception ratio since 2015, he ranks only behind Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he has the fewest giveaways of any quarterback in the National Football League. When I talk to the coaches, they say the turnover battle is the biggest deciding factor in winning games. Well, this guy doesn't turn it over. He finds a way to get his team into the end zone. Those are all the things that you want. So when I saw the competition coming up between Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor, I believe that he was a pro. He was going to do things the right way. He was going to get the ball to the playmakers. That offense was going to run differently with him at the helm compared to Baker. I am not surprised that he is in the lead for this quarterback competition. I've always believed that he is a starter. He is a top 15 quarterback. At some point, people will recognize his talent. Maybe he'll get an opportunity to show people in Cleveland.
Right, and he's never had weapons like this around him. All right, so last thing before you go, Bucky, it's summertime, so that means that Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers are talking about a contract. The report has been that Bell is looking to be paid like a number one running back and a number two wide receiver. When you look at his numbers and you look at his production, does that feel like an unfair request, or does that sound about right to you?
I mean, it sounds about right based on what the production is. The problem that he's going to fall into, the top running backs don't make nearly the money that he's making right now in the franchise tag. He's making about 14.5. I think Devontae Freeman comes in maybe a little under $9 million. That's a huge gap, a huge disparity between where the top running backs are and where he is. And then when you add in not the age but the injury history and the suspension factor, it is hard to justify paying Le'Veon Bell $14, $15 million at the running back position. I love him. I love his game. But if we talk about from a business standpoint, it's hard to commit that much money to Le'Veon Bell. I believe he's best served to play on the franchise tag this year like he played last year and hope that the Pittsburgh Steelers extend the franchise tag another year. I don't believe on the open market he gets a deal that pays him nearly as much as what he's expecting as a franchise player.
So how do you think that plays out, and how do you think he'll respond to it?
You know, I think he's going to do what he did last year. I think he'll show up a week before the regular season starts so he doesn't get fined. He'll come in and play. He'll play well. And then they'll have to figure out what they want to do with Le'Veon Bell next offseason. I believe the Steelers made a bit of a mistake because they should have drafted a top running back this year so he could serve as an apprentice for a year before they give him the job and allow Le'Veon Bell to walk on. I don't believe Le'Veon Bell will be a Pittsburgh Steeler in 2019.
You can follow him on Twitter at Bucky Brooks. He's an NFL Network analyst. He's also the host of Move the Sticks podcast along with Daniel Jeremiah. Bucky, it's so good to have you back. Appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Jim.
Great job, Bucky. Thank you very much. Always look forward to talking to you. And Daniel Jeremiah both. They have an excellent podcast, which I listen to all the time.